For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 18th day, Friday, okay, of August 2023. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and it's the last night. We've got less than 2 hours for Pledge Week, folks. We really got to make up for the last couple of nights. We came up short. We started out real good, but we came up short. So we're going to need all the help we can get tonight. We've got quite a program coming up tonight. And so I want to start way back yonder in the booths. I've got in the phone booth, I've got Frank and Aaron and Eric back there tonight. In the glass cage. He's straw bossing tonight. The boss is in here himself. He's out here to make sure everything goes all right and cracking the whip. None other than Josh Boos himself. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, we're getting it done tonight. And you heard the cackle that cackle that's heard around the world. It's Little Lisa cackle, Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. She did it already. Now, we have a whole host of people calling in tonight, starting here with Dr. Nate Landis. Are you there, Dr. Nate? Hello, Nate. Are you there? Dr. Landis, talk to me.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. All right. And then we also have Jeff Ross. Jeff, are you there?
I'm here.
And then we have none other than the, well, nationally known legend of his own time, Big John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you. God bless our gifts, Jeff. Yes. God bless our listeners. Maybe we have a great show tonight.
And with us tonight, too, our California correspondent, and she owns every bit of pretty on this broadcast tonight, Linda Stair. Hey, Linda.
Good evening, everybody.
Linda, why don't you go ahead and introduce your two guests?
Okay. Well, we know, Pastor, that if you love your kids, to take them out of the public schools, but what if some parents can't? So that's where Urban Youth Collaborative comes in.
Yeah, I know. Here, you know what's happened here, Linda? For 50 years, I've been telling people, if you love your kids, get them out of that public school. And now these two guys, they come along and they say, no, keep your kids in the school and take the communist out of the public school. Take the Satanist out.
Better alternative, yeah.
Yeah, I think so maybe they got something there, don't they?
Here.
All right, very good. And then we're going to get
Dr. Landis and the whole consortium of people, the managers of UIC. They're bringing Jesus right into the public middle schools and high schools through the student club. So a student can start a Christian club, and then they can bring in youth pastors from their churches. They can bring in speakers, and Jeff has a wonderful discipleship program for the kids, and they learn how to evangelize. So it's really catching on. So as you said, this evening we have Dr. Nate Landis, who started UIC, and Jeff Ross is the manager of the North County San Diego UIC. And they also bring Jesus into the skateboard parks. It's very popular. So without further ado, I'll just let Dr. Landis bring us up to speed, because we were here about 7 months ago with you, Pastor. And we wanted to give you an update of what's happened with UIC.
Okay, just before you do that, I want to read a Bible verse out of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that. And so that's some pretty good advice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and with that, now listen. Everybody knows, Nate and Jeff and John, everybody knows that California is the land of fruits and nuts. What good can come out of California? But I guess there's something happening in the public school system I was amazed at. Did you guys find a lot of resistance, or did you find people hungry for the Word of God?
We found people that aren't going to hear about Jesus otherwise are really hungry to hear about true life in him. And there are, of course, people that don't think it's a good idea to talk about kids being forgiven. That sounds condescending. Or kids being lost. That sounds like we're looking down at them. But I think if you understand Scripture well, being lost is actually a compliment, because it says you're very valuable. In fact, it says that we're going to stop everything and search for you until we find you. We're going to sacrifice whatever we have to sacrifice. And when we find the person that we care about and have lost, we celebrate wildly. Jesus talks about the parable of the lost sheep and then the parable of the lost coin. And he's always talking about the value of people that are away from him. So when we talk about people needing Jesus, it's actually the biggest compliment in the world, because it says we're not content without them. We notice that they're gone, and we're going to do whatever we need to go after them. And as far as California is concerned, I think God has an amazing sense of humor, because like you said, Pastor, when I travel the country, people say, what's it really like to be a pastor in California? Like, do you have to do it in secret, or do you have to really compromise your values to even talk about anything? And what we've found is that if what we're doing works here in California, we're really hoping that other Christians realize it's going to be easier for it to happen in Oklahoma or Texas or South Carolina or other parts of the country that don't perhaps have some of the resistance that we have here in California. Last thing I'll say about resistance, though, is that salt and light always win. No matter how much the darkness is resisting, it's powerless once the light goes on. And when Jesus says we're the light of the world, that's what he's talking about. When we shine the light of Christ into the darkness, it doesn't matter whether the darkness wants the light or not. It doesn't have a choice. It's got to flee, because you can't have light and darkness in the same place. So when kids represent Christ and they discover the power of Christ inside them, then they can shine their light brightly, and it's unstoppable. And so it doesn't matter what state we're in, light always wins when kids discover the power of Jesus inside them.
Well, I can give the phone numbers out. Phone numbers, the phone lines are open at 888, folks. This is the last week of Pledge Week. We got to hear from you. 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. We've got to hear from you tonight. Or 888-677-9673. We got five people back there manning the phones tonight. 888-677-9673. We have to hear from you tonight. We've got less than 2 hours. We have to raise a lot of money tonight to continue with what we're doing. Now, after saying that, I spoke tonight at a meeting called Tactical Civics. Tactical Civics is a group of Christian patriots dedicating to restoring America back the way God gave it to gave America to us. And one of the things that I was telling them was this, that we have lost every time the church loses a battle here, if you will. It starts right in the pulpit. Going back to 1963 when God was expelled out of the Christian schools, you can put that, lay that right at the feet of those in the pulpit. In 1973, where that court that was supreme only in its rebellion against God, where they declared God dead and declared themselves to be God, and said that what God has made unlawful, we will make legal with the purchase of a license from Mammon. Again, the pulpit, it was responsible. The pulpit was responsible. They should have rose up and did what they were had the responsibility to Almighty God to do, and to hold that court guilty of treason against God and country. They failed again. Now, what kind of responses are you guys getting from the pulpits there in California?
We've seen churches that are really excited about this concept of going after the next generation where they are. And we've also seen some pastors that are sort of more indifferent and waiting for kids to come to them. And so we want to be advocates for what Jesus talked about in John chapter 1, the incarnation of Jesus. Fortunately, didn't wait for us to stumble into heaven, but instead he put on flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood, learned our language and our culture, and he pulled us from where we were to where we needed to be by going to where we were and showing how much we mattered by making the trip to earth and becoming human. So I think the pastoral distinction is sort of decided between those that are going to wait for kids to come to them. And pre-COVID, that didn't work. Post-COVID, that doesn't work for sure. It's even harder. So we have to be courageous and go to where kids are. And I think the pulpit is the place where we communicate the value of people and the urgency of the gospel, because we know without Christ, there's hope. And with Christ, there's abundant life forever. So the contrast couldn't be more stark. And pastors have to not only preach it on Sundays, but then during the week, mobilize their people to go and reach the lost and make disciples of the next generation and be living out what we're preaching on Sundays.
All righty. And so here, the Bible says that, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. Now, did God, you know, when God was making children, did he know what he was doing? I mean, he only made two genders, am I right?
That's right. Yes, you're right.
Now, let me ask you, I'll bet on this. I happen to be very sure that at one time, both of you men were children at one time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, now, and of course, we know that here, Linda also was a child at one time. Did any of you out there have at any time, were you confused at all about whether you were a boy or a girl?
Never.
Okay.
No.
So now, where is all of this confusion? I happen to know the answer, but I'm going to ask you folks, where is all of this confusion coming to these children? You see, because, you know, I was a child too, and I knew a lot of other children, and I knew we had some girls that were tomboys, but we had some boys that were, we called sissies, a little effeminate, but every single one of them that I knew, and I knew a lot, all grew out of that. It's called maturity, right? So where is all of this coming from, all of this confusion, which makes our young children want to commit suicide or want to get mutilated? Where's that coming from?
Pit of hell.
Well, that's true. Yeah. There. Okay.
It's an agenda. Agenda. You know, the enemy always has the best tactics. He knows that if he can get the minds of this young generation, that he has it all. He can shift an entire culture. And so it's just part of a bigger agenda, you know. And so our counterattack is to pump truth and hope and Jesus inside the public schools, going to where they're at. I have LGBTQ kids coming to our faith clubs, and I don't even have to talk about that topic. But when I present God's word and these kids get into God's word is truth, and it pierces the very depths of their heart. And so I've led young people to Christ who are caught up in that lifestyle. And, you know, when they give their life to Jesus, the lights come on. And so it's really amazing to do that. And so it's the biggest harvest of young souls I've ever seen in my life when I came here to California. I've only been doing this for about a year and a half. We came from Washington State. God told us to sell everything we own and come here and join alongside Nate with UIC and take North County for Jesus. And when I got here, I was blown away as I was going into these schools and seeing, ooh, we were going into schools and preaching the word of God. We were sharing testimonies. We were leading kids to Christ. We were, kids were in the word. Man, just this last year, I passed out over 600 Bibles inside public schools in the skate parks, only to kids who asked for one. You know, because they're kind of expensive. I don't just throw those out. But that's amazing. That's just right here in Oceanside, California. And these kids are hungry. They're thirsty. COVID, when the enemy came in like a flood to try to capture the minds of even this young generation, get them isolated, not, you know, hanging out in their houses, the rooms, not talking to anybody. You know, God uses all things for good. And so for me, being an evangelist, I see this as the greatest opportunity ever, because these kids, their BS meters, what I say, is like they're so done with the lies and stuff. They're so hopeless. The suicide rates are off the charts. But Jesus is the only answer. And this young generation, they are so hungry and thirsty for Jesus, more than I've ever seen in 26 years of reaching young people for Jesus. It's amazing.
Amen. Annan in the Bronx pledges 100. Cheryl in New Jersey pledges 100. Giza in Cleveland pledges 100, and Annan in Cleveland pledges, Annan in Cleveland pledges 25. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Alrighty.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Okay, John McTernan, when you and I were young, and we know when that was, right?
Now, Pastor Ernie, I can picture everybody young but you.
Alrighty, now listen here.
I can't picture you 8, 7, 6 years. I just can't.
Well, keep trying. Anyhow, listen, I remember when we were young, when, you know, children have a way, you know, what's the very first word that a child learns when it's young, a big child? Linda, you know. The word is no. That's the first word they learn. No. Okay. No. So what happens when we were young, and there was a time when that was, you know, we were taken to church. We brought to church, and we had kind of had a little rebellion. We didn't want to really go to church, this and that, and so we kind of rebelled a little bit about it. Of course, it didn't last long. But today, it's just the opposite. You know, we wanted the things that we weren't allowed to have when we were, you know, we wanted to. As young kids, especially as teenagers, today the things that the kids aren't allowed to have is what we turned away from. And that was the faith in God. And in our time going to school, we started out every day with a prayer off the loudspeaker, and then when we got to the homeroom class, that homeroom teacher led us in a prayer. So we had prayer twice. Okay. And that was really encouraged. And all the authority figures we had were pro-family, pro-God, pro-family. That's not the way it is today. So do you think maybe that's one of the reasons that children, they want what they're told they could never have, and that's really the faith in God, going back to the teachings of God's Word, the Bible, and the moving that you see, maybe the Holy Spirit moving with his children. Is that what's happening?
Interesting, me, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yes. And you add it, you got to add it to it, the breakdown of the family unit. Father's not there. Mother's, you know, not there. It's complete chaos for the kids. The security that we grew up with is from huge numbers is basically gone, Pastor Ernie. And they don't hear God loves them. They don't hear anything about God. So being able, what an honor to be able to get into these public schools and present the true love of God and God's plan of salvation to young children.
All right, there are some very good things happening, too, to add to this with what you guys are doing there. And that is, up here in Ohio, we have what we call Liberty Camp. And Liberty Camp is starting at starting right from first grade all the way up to high school. They teach about God, the family, and the country. And this Liberty Camp, they really go into depth. And also now we have up here with Coach Dobbenmeyer, we have called Boot Camp, where he is teaching young high school kids, junior high and high school kids, how to be warriors for the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Public school, Pastor?
No, they're not in the public schools, but what these people are teaching the children, those are bringing it back. Some of them are in the public schools, and they're taking that back to the public schools. Now, here's what's happened. A number of the public schools have said, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Everybody's leaving us, and they're going here to the Liberty Camp. They're going here. We're seeing the Christian schools in Ohio growing, just hand over hand they're growing. And homeschooling, so a lot of those we're seeing actual school boards now saying, you know what, maybe we've got to go back to where we used to be. That is happening even in New Jersey. Even in New Jersey, where you have three school boards are fighting with a corrupt governor. They're fighting with a very corrupt governor of New Jersey and a prosecutor because they want the parents to have parental rights in their schools. So what do you think? Is the tide turning?
I think it is if parents and kids realize the power that they have, because I think one thing we did learn through all the craziness of Zoom and the COVID pandemic, where everybody was on a computer staring at a screen for a long, long time, only you have the power to mute yourself. And a kid, there's no other controller that has a master mute button. Each kid and each parent, each family can choose whether they mute themselves or not, or whether they talk or not when it comes to sharing the gospel and talking about their faith. And once they realize that nobody else can mute them and that they're talking about things that matter, and that the words of resurrection life are in their mouth and Christ can use them to transform other people's lives, that gets really addicting. And kids want to continue to be used by God in that way, and so do parents. And once they discover that they can't be stopped, then they're going to be more bold. I think the enemy's trick is to say that what you're doing is illegal, or you're being somehow condemning or indoctrinating, or you're trying to sort of force this on people, or you're manipulating people by giving them food first before you're talking about it. These are all the different complaints of people that don't understand the details and facts about how we actually do this legally. All of the things that we do are not only biblical, but they're legal per the laws of the United States. It works in all 50 states. So I think parents can discover their power if they decide to speak up and kind of become active instead of waiting for the school to make the first move, or just kind of dropping your kid off on Monday and picking them up at the end of the year. Parents need to be more engaged and more active and find out what's going on, and they can make God's side of the story and morals and values known to students if they
are willing to unmute themselves. So that's one of the principles that we try to teach, is to use the power of words in life-changing ways, because our culture is using them in ways that tear people down, and we're building people up with the words of God.
All right, very good. Jerry in Brooklyn pledges 1,000. Folks, I'm looking to get some matches. I'd like to get 4 matches. Can I get 4 matches for Jerry in Brooklyn? He pledges 1,000. Can we get 4 matches for Jerry in Brooklyn? All righty. The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Folks, the phone lines, the guys are all sitting back. There's 5 people waiting for those lines to call, and we need to hear from you. We really do. We need to hear from you ASAP. Now, let me ask you this. A lot of folks out there listening say, you know, what they're doing sounds like a good idea. How do I get started? I mean, what do I do? Do I march into the school? I just march into my school and say, look, we want to come here and we want to talk to the children. We want to hand out Bibles. Tell them how they can get started. I mean, if you can do this in California, and when you do that, what kind of response do you normally get when you just go into the schools and do that?
I think it's important to clarify that we do have to be able to know the right strategies and the right contours of the laws of separation of church and state. If somebody shows up at a school and just starts like preaching on top of a lunch table or handing out Bibles in a cafeteria, they'll be escorted off, and they'll also make it really hard for other ministries and other groups that are trying to serve the school legally. So what we recommend instead is getting a little bit of training and input on what the law is and how we can go about it in a strategic and effective way. And it's actually really encouraging. There's lots of boundaries, but if you know which doors work and what keys to use, then you can really see a lot of great stuff happen. And often you can build a relationship of trust with administrators instead of just being sort of in a hostile posture. There will always be administrators that are against what we're doing, but a lot of administrators realize kids need a moral compass, and kids need a community of hope, and kids need to be able to be pointed in the right direction, because they are aware that the public school curriculum lacks a lot of guidance and a lot of moral values and a lot of decision-making principles. So the short answer to the question would be, we have created some training materials for parents and for students and also for churches that want to be able to do this legally, because you could have a one and done where you get on campus and you try something, it doesn't work, and then you're on the blacklist for the rest of the year, and sometimes that lasts several years because principals talk. But if you are able to do it in a sustainable way where they're maybe even thanking you afterwards, that's what we're able to provide. And on our website, UYC.org, Urban Youth Collaborative, UYC.org, we've got a training track for parents and also for students and also for church partners that want to figure out how to do this well, how to do it legally, and then they can be part of our community, ask questions, and we'll provide some support and guidance and coaching along the way. So UYC.org is a great place to start.
All right. There you go, UYC.org. Now, let me ask you this. When you go in to that and you talk to, do you go to the school boards first, or do you go right into the public school and say, look, I want to talk to the principal in here? And when you do, what normally kind of reaction do you get? Because, I mean, it doesn't seem like there are many Christians in the public school system in places of authority today. What kind of response do you normally get?
I think you have to know your audience. And there are some school board members that are Christians in different districts. There are so many districts in San Diego, for example, over 40, And the reception will depend a lot on the composition of who's on the school board. So there are some school boards that actually want our program, and they, one school board member who is a Christian said to me, propose anything you want and we'll approve anything you send me. Basically, that was his response. And then there are other school boards that are more resistant and probably don't know the law and are motivated by ignorance and also their biases. That's a bad combination, but that's often the way it is. And they'll push back on a program like ours. But what's cool is if the kids want it, it doesn't matter what a principal or what a school board has to say. And if a principal's supportive, then we can even go farther and do even more things together. So it really depends on the audience. If it's a Christian school board member, we'll go right to them. If it's a Christian principal, we'll talk to them. But even some secular principals know the value of what we're bringing in other ways. We're beautifying school campuses. We just had a big annual school beautification day at several different schools. And with budget cuts, there's a shared goal of making the campus look nice. We feed football teams. We're doing some abstinence training in schools, believe it or not. We can talk more about that later. And a lot of principals and nurses and teachers know that the sex ed curriculum is full of all of this material that's inappropriate and graphic, and some would say pornographic, and in some cases it is. But then the kids don't have any moral guidance on what to do with all that information. We're able to help them think intentionally about their values and make proactive decisions about their boundaries and relationships before they end up in a bad situation accidentally or just by not planning. Principals know that's important, too.
Already. I'm going to give the numbers. The numbers are, folks, listen, the lines have been silent. And if the lines stay silent, well, you won't be listening to us. The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Out of necessity, I'm going to ask all three of you fellows to tell us why, how important is radio programs like this one right here in getting your message out. So I'll start with you, Mr. Landis.
Well, I love radio, and people tell me I have a great face for radio, so that really helps me out compared to podcasts with video and preaching and other things.
Know what
but
you mean.
I have seen a lot of good things come out of radio over the years. I had my own show for a long time in San Diego and wished the signal strength was better. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on Coast to Coast, where it's blanketing the whole country. But you get to talk to somebody's heart, and you build a relationship of trust over time, and you're doing life together as you're driving to work or as you're at home listening and maybe washing the dishes or doing chores or just sitting down and taking it all in. And you really are building a relationship. And we get to talk honestly about faith, and we've seen people respond in prayer and respond in giving financially or coming out to serve at a school in a different way. And that's all really powerful stuff. And as much as it depends on us, we want to get the message out everywhere. And Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And now we're in a digital world. And so radio, whether it's analog or digital, that technology, those radio waves help share the gospel in ways that it wouldn't be possible for me to talk to somebody in Des Moines, Des Moines, Iowa, or Idaho, or anywhere else right now if we didn't have the power of radio. But we can talk about the gospel, we can pray for each other, and there's a power to connect across the whole country that wouldn't be possible otherwise. And so it's important to be able to have a ministry like this, because the Bible says, how will somebody hear without a preacher? And how will somebody preach unless they're sent? And then I would say too, how will the preacher get their message across if the airwaves are shut down or the show has to stop? So it's an important way to share the gospel and to motivate others to share the gospel too, because as we're in our Christian circle now, it should motivate all of us to go out and make a difference with our relationships after the program's over.
All righty. Miguel in the Bronx pledges $100 for the ministry and $100 in honor of Pastor Joe Larson. Thank you, Miguel. All right, folks, the number is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, if you're going to, if you just want to mail in, mail us a donation, well, you can do that by going to WRWL, just WRWL 14781. That's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Sperry Road, and that's in Newberry, Newbury, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Now, you can also call, and if you wanted to, and leave, if you couldn't get through tonight, or you couldn't call tonight, maybe you're out there driving in your car and listening to us or something, the regular number for the church. If you want to just call and leave your name and phone number, or if you want to donate, or just let us know that you're donating or you're making a pledge, that number is 440-338-1367. That's 440-338-1367. If you're just going to, you're going to make a pledge, just give us a call and let us know. All right, we wanted to go. Jeff, tell us in your words why radio programs like this, because in order for us to get the message out about what you're doing, and you're doing a great work out there, we've got to be on the air. And I know people say radio's free. Not for us, it's not at all.
No, we're super thankful, Pastor Sanders, that you allowed us to come on your show tonight. So because of people who support you, then it allows us to be on here and share what Jesus is doing, you know, and informing people, you know, because like even you have allowing us to be on here tonight, like a lot of people don't know, like, that you can go into the public schools and reach the mass of the youth for Jesus, you know. And so, you know, we're making people aware of that tonight. And as you were asking that question, I was kind of having a flashback about 27 years ago when I was caught up in my own addiction and stuff. And at my job at the time, I happened to stumble on a radio program. And it was a Christian radio program. And I was knee-deep in a lot of just crazy stuff at the time. And didn't know Jesus. And very hopeless, suicidal. And I remember I tuned into this Christian radio program at night. And, man, it was like the Holy Spirit just hit me. And he was on my heart through Christian programming on the radio, and I listened to that thing every night. And I remember just hearing the peace in the people's voices and stuff on this thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's with that? It was just a different sound and stuff, and I wasn't used to that stuff because where I come from and stuff, it was just different. So it was powerful. So radio actually played some very interesting ways in my salvation, coming to Jesus, you know, at 24 years old, because God was stirring my heart with stuff, just being able to hear Christian programming, you know, that I would never have heard anywhere else, honestly. So, yeah, we're appreciative of radio and you allowing us to be on here tonight.
Well, you know, we're here. We want to help do, you know, we've never turned down a ministry that needed help that have asked us. And so, you know, we're always ready to run to this battle because the good Lord knows America really needs help. America needs right now, and we're living in what the Bible calls the days and times of sorrows. And so, John McTernan, your ministry, you reach many, many people all across this world. How has a radio like this radio program helped you in your ministry over the years?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I'm going to say the use of electronics has been incredible in getting the word of God out. And the church, if I remember correctly, Pastor Ernie, wasn't the church really leading the charge like in the 1920s and going on the radio and then also with TV? But radio is critical because it can reach places that that they don't have computers and things like that. So radio becomes important in Africa and Asia.
I know over the years here, we've had a number. I mean, we've had a large number of people let us know that they said the sinner's prayer. When we give this invitation on the radio, that they've said the sinner's prayer. A couple of things that really stick with me is we had a woman who was, and I'll never forget this because I was doing the radio program live and it was a pouring down rain that night. This woman called me. She was on her way to commit suicide. She was going to drive right here in the Cleveland area, going to drive her car into the Lake Erie, off of here into the lake. And she heard us talk about giving your heart to the Lord Jesus, that there's victory in the Lord Jesus and the eternal life. And she stopped her car, she pulled off, and she called in on the program, and we prayed with her. Well, later on, she gave birth to twins. And that was one of the reasons she was looking to commit suicide, but she got encouragement from the Word of God over the airwaves. We had another situation where a fellow had lost his job. He lost his job. Things were not going good at home. He just was absolutely beside himself, and he was looking to just end it all. That he was convinced his family would be better off without him because he felt like he was a failure. And the very same thing, he called. We were praying, and he talked about. We were talking about how we have victory in the Lord Jesus here on the air, and so he did. He called and he got saved. He said the sinner's prayer right with us here on the air. He got saved. And so we've had a lot over the years. So that's why it's very, very important to keep us on the air. And this is why, folks out there, we really need to hear from you tonight, because we've got about 1 hour left. We've got an hour left tonight and to raise enough money. And this is August. And I know that a lot of people are on vacation. The summertime is the hardest time for ministries like this. It has been. And I know for 50 years we've been doing this, but right now, I know the economy is not that good. But folks, we know this, that God has no shortage of funds. And if you folks out there, if you think that what we do here is the watchman on the wall, and boy, have we been the watchman on the wall over the years. We have never compromised. Go ahead,
Pastor Ernie. I'm sure you're aware of the they want to remove AM radios from vehicles, the new vehicles.
Yeah, it's a good reason for that too.
Oh, political. Well, you know, why should they care if you have an AM radio in it?
It's spiritual. The communists, the Satanists want us. Yeah, they don't want.
Well, that
the,
shows how effective it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, absolutely. Let me ask these the fellows here. What are, because right now, look, the reality, here's reality. Reality, Satanism has become the unofficial, official religion of the Democratic Party. More and more Democrats are turning to Satanism today. This is why we're seeing this huge influx of pedophilia in the public schools. Are you fellows running into this as you go into the trying to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into the public schools? Are you running into the devil in there?
Well, there are kids that are really going to go after whoever gets there first. And so there are clubs in different parts of California. In Los Angeles, there's a group that is using the same legal framework we do to start a Satanist club. And they're going through the same process and just the same training that I've shared with everyone, the listeners tonight. Any other group could take that training and they could start an organization. They wouldn't have the Holy Spirit's power. They'd be empowered by the evil one. But every kid is a battleground, and the law is set up in such a way that whoever wants it the most will win. And whoever gets there first often and stays longest wins and fills the vacuum. So there are groups in Los Angeles and
another one in Milwaukee I've heard about that are really active with trying to start this kind of occultism. And then I think a lot of the occultism, too, just masquerades as freedom and do what you want. That's in the Satanic Bible. You could kind of summarize it as do what you would like to do, do what thou wilt. And a lot of our music and a lot of our culture and even peers and so on say, follow your own desires and you'll find life. And the opposite is true. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's the one that brings life to the fullest if we follow him. So we've got to get that message out because the enemy's saying life without God is better. And we've got to say life with God is not only better, it's the only way to find life. So we have to get there because the legal framework is in place where anybody that wants to do it can go do it. And we want the message of God to win. And it gives me a righteous indignation when I see other groups out trying to win the hearts of kids. And they have the freedom to make their case, but I want to make my case louder and better and more loving and more winsomely, more passionately and humbly and clearly, and back it up with my life. So that's what motivates me every day.
Alrighty, 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. If those lines are filled, when you call, you can call 440-338-1367 and just leave a message at 440-338-1367. You can just leave a message. Now, let me ask you this. First of all, right now there's a message in God's Word, the Bible, and it's 366 times. There's two words are said, and those two words are fear not, fear not, fear not. Now, a lot of times there are people, and they're concerned, or maybe as this world, I mean, the whole purpose of the world out there is to try to discourage Christians. The enemy, the devil out there is telling you, you can't do it. They want to dishearten you, discourage you. If you do that, you're going to jail. If you go into the public, you look what the FBI is going to come for you. Yes, that's what they're going to do. Merrick Garland will send the FBI and Chris Ray if you stand up. And if you stand up for your children, and if you go and pray at the flagpole, they'll get you. They'll get you. So here, 366 times, the Bible says, fear not. And there's parents out there, again, that says, you know what? I want to do what these guys are doing. So what do you suggest? Would they go to UYC.org, UYC.org? You have materials up there.
Yes.
And tell us what some of your materials say.
We have a video course for students that want to start a public school Bible club. It'll be unstoppable if they walk through it step by step. My own children are going through it right now. We just moved recently to Northern California, and UIC is expanding. So it works all over the state. So these my students here in my house and some of them in their youth group are going through this video series, and it will show you step by step the power that you have legally and how you can be bold and fearless. That's actually one of our videos is called Be Fearless, and we talk about how the power of God is unstoppable, like we mentioned earlier. And the law and the Lord, if you know the law properly and you understand God's word, are on your side, and it really can't be stopped. We have a track for parents that want to pass the baton of faith on to others. You could be a parent, grandparent, a vocational worker in a particular field, a lawyer, a doctor, a graphic designer, a SDG&E employee, and you could show kids how to represent Christ and be an agent of the kingdom in the marketplace. And that's something that can happen in a school or along the way throughout life. Maybe kids take a day off of school and visit you in your workplace, and you can show them what discipleship looks like in day-to-day living as a professional. Then the other track, we have a video series for church partners that want to come alongside schools and students in meaningful and legal ways. And they can basically do everything UIC does if they watch these different videos. There's an application part. You can print out a form and answer some interactive questions and apply it to your own context. And then, like I've said, we're available to talk and walk things through and talk about some of the specifics of what's happening in your own neighborhood, your own context. What are you seeing and hearing? What's the principal saying? What are kids facing? How can we help with that? And all of those materials that are video are also available as books as well. They're identical, and some people like to go through both. So if you're an auditory kind of visual person, you want to read it, you can read it. You can also watch it. Whatever your learning style is, we've got something for you.
All right, very good. Gary and Camilla in New Jersey pledged $200, and Peggy in Ohio pledges $500. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And those numbers, again, are 888-281-1110. Again, that's 281, or 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. And so we have less than an hour. We have about 45 minutes left, folks. And we are still, right now, we are $3,500. We're $3,500. We need to raise $3,500 to make our goal tonight. And so, again, we got to hear from you. John McTurney, could you give us $3,500? Well, you don't know if you don't ask.
You know, Pastor Ernie, it's the ministry has changed. I work heavily there in Pakistan and India and Kenya. And the money to do what I used to do is getting hard to come by.
Tell the folks a little bit right now about, you've had some major success there in reaching people there, especially the Muslims and others. Tell us quickly, give us a little update.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, what we've really, really found a gold mine for the Lord is there is about 10 million Hindus living kind of together in Pakistan, and they are not well liked by the Muslims. But and in fact, a lot of them are literally slaves. They're debt slaves. They work in brick factories, and they are like serfs. And we've gotten in there. The Lord has opened the door and got us in. And Pastor Ernie, it came to where we were blocked about a month ago. The Muslim owners of the factories wouldn't allow the Hindus to meet with us because the Hindus were upset, the leadership, because they said thousands have converted to Christianity. Thousands. Whole villages are coming to the Lord. They love, Pastor Ernie, the Blessed Hope. I preach the Blessed Hope, Titus 2:13 to them. They love it. You know, that Christ died, paid the penalty for their sin. I don't get into anything about Hinduism, not at all. No, nothing about reincarnation, but I preach about Christ coming, the transformation of the body or the resurrection of the body. We go to heaven. We see God on the throne. We go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem. And I preach, you know, sin. I mean, repentance and all of that. And they flock to the Lord, Pastor Ernie. Flock.
I hear you. So God's word does not return void, whether no matter where it's at, in the schools or in Pakistan. Hang tight. We're coming up to a break. And we'll be back right after this is Heartbreak with a lot more. Don't go away, folks. A whole lot more.
Lots of channels. Nothing to watch. Especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.